Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Chris Funk of the band The Decemberists. Chris discusses the band's writing process, recording Picaresque, and the band's post-tour plans.
I think our last record was a quintessential Decemberist record, sort of a culmination of the last three records and the two EPs.
The December's latest record, Picaresque, is a lush lyrical journey featuring songs with abundant characters and adjectives. The record has received great reviews and will likely be on many year-end lists. Here's a snippet of Mariner's Revenge from Picaresque.
We are two mariners, our ship's sole survivors, in this belly of a whale. Its ribs are ceiling beams, its guts are carpeting. I guess we have some time to kill. You may not remember me, I was a child of three, and you a lad of 18. But I remember you, and I will relate to you how our histories interweave. At the time you
The band is midway on an American tour and will soon cross the pond for a dozen dates through Europe.
The new record is full of great characters and stories, as though songs are short fictions. Is this how Colin writes?
Well, I guess so. I mean, those are the songs, you know, that have been thus far featured on the record. Short fictions. I guess all songs or many. Well, that's not true. I mean, I was gonna say all songs are short fictions, but I suppose some are narratives for people. I guess that's. Goes, you know, for the same for the Decemberists. There are some songs that are narrative, but they're sort of shrouded in what one would perceive as fictional characters, maybe a little bit more than the average rock band, say Journey or something like that. This is, you know, I Love You and this and that and Oh Sherry, or I guess that was from Steve's solo record. But anyways, narratives, absolutely, you know. Yeah. And I, you know, but I think there's truth in everything that he writes and the band writes, and you know, there's smatterings of all sorts of angles in there, but I think that the lyrics are coming from a different perspective than most groups are, you know, writing these days, and the rock idiom.
Yeah, definitely
college rock, where we call home.
Yeah. Does he present them as, I have this little journal and here are stories, or does he come with you to, here's a melody, here's this musical element, and I've written them simultaneously? Does he see one without the other, or are they...
No, he brings songs to us that, you know, are more or less in their ready-to-go form in many regards. I think he could, you know, make like a solo record from every record that we've created, and you know, in many cases we're the icing on the cake, on the cake. But you know, in some cases we've rearranged them, or other cases, you know, they've sort of stood as they are.
Yeah.
And he's sort of a fountain of songs, so you know, they sort of just keep coming, and he you know, basically brings them to us, and we flip them around and bring in different instruments and see where they happen, you know, or see what happens with them and see how we can change them around and try to progress. So it'll be interesting on the next record. I think our last record was a quintessential Decemberist record, sort of a culmination of the last three records and the two EPs. And I think we're ready to move on from the sort of and not completely give away the characters we've, you know, fostered, but try something new. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I'm not sure yet.
At what point did y'all decide that you were going to make this live show the way it is?
Again, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that we've ever done that far, you know, in that regard, I mean, it's just been a progression. It's been a progression of a sort of standing on stage and playing, and just, you know, we've never said let's do this or let's do that. I mean, there's anecdotes that have sort of started to happen, like a fake whale on stage, or you know, making people lay down during the chimbley sweep, which are things that just sort of happened one night. We thought they were funny, and We thought they
swaying.
They're swaying. Yeah, is, I mean, there's never, we've never rehearsed those things. Those are things that we just start doing, and we continue to do them because we almost continue to do them because we think it's almost, it's just ridiculous that we're even doing them in the first place. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and a lot of the songs are tongue-in-cheek, too. A lot of the lyrics are tongue-in-cheek, you know. So there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in the group in general, and it's just, some people are really... It's really funny when people are so I don't know, they think that the antics on stage are contrived or something. It's it's funny because we start to do things just out of, I guess, sheer boredom, but then it just comes to be something because we did it once and we thought it was funny. It's just out of humor, I guess. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of humor in the band. Think about it, and some bands, you know, and talk about it and make, you know, have a lighting director and all these explosions on stage, and
yeah.
Some bands just tour on the road, I guess, like us, and start to do stupid shit and repeat it because we think it's funny. And it works because we're not very theatric when it comes down to it.
What effect has the inclusion of Petra Hayden had on the band?
Well, she's a spot-on vocalist. She can sing any tune in about 3 seconds that we whip up, and and same goes with her violin playing. And there's a lot more stars that come backstage when we play in Los Angeles. So she's giving us Los Angeles cred. No, I'm kidding. Partially not. But she's been just a great influence, on, you know, musicianship. She's a fantastic musician. She comes from a lineage of musicians that are, you know, well respected, and she's, you know, she's a fantastic musician. So I guess, you know, in some regards, she helps us play in tune.
Yeah.
In other regards, and she's a hilarious person. If you ever sat down and talked to her, she's a lot of comic relief on the road. So, you know, it's good to have her in the family.
As far as an upcoming record, how is she gonna be like included in that?
I suppose like everybody else, you know, we'll sit down and we'll hash out some new songs, and mm-hmm. Colin will bring some new songs to the band, and we'll all sit in a room and stare at each other and say, here we go, you know, and we'll start arranging. So every record's been different in writing. There's been times where, you know, the first EP we did was Colin sort of just hashing together a vision and saying, you know, I want accordion, I want a bass and drums, and he asked me to come play because I played pedal steel guitar, so I came and played pedal steel, and, you know, at the time I wasn't even really in the band, whatever that means, you know.
Yeah.
Slugging it out with them, you know, putting up my money to make that EP, I guess, is what it means.
Yeah.
Playing every show, and then the process has sort of evolved, you know, how we make records, so this time I think it'll evolve again with the, you know, up until the last record, you know, or the last record, I should say, we, you know, listen to songs, you know, sort of like pre-production songs, and try to be professional about it, or whatever the hell that means, or focus on it, and went in the studio and made whatever came out still, and had a producer, you know, Chris Walla, quote unquote producer. We had a friend of ours hanging out with us who is like-minded about music.
What influence did he have on the record?
I mean, it's hard to say. We didn't make the record without him, or I can't say completely. I mean, it's such a weird time when you make a record, or at least for us, when we've made records, we go into these spaces and we make records, and we don't really take a break, so you don't really have much perspective on what's really not happening around you. You're sort of focused on what's completely happening around you. So, but I can't say he's got amazing ears and enthusiasm. He was the first one in the studio every day, and he's a really hard worker. So coach. It was just, in some regards, it was, it was sort of rigorous and strict, and other regards, it was just like hanging out with friends, which I think is the best combination.
Yeah.
So, I can go on and on about it. Yeah. You know, working with him, he's fantastic. Staring at the natural tan, a 32 gently clenching wrinkled little hand. Military wives, his tears drip down.
on to their rivals.
It's often written in press the band overshoots their audience with these obscure allusions. Do you think the audience needs to know these details, or just the understanding of emotions in the song is unrelated?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if, I don't know, don't come to the show if you don't like it. I don't know what to say exactly. I mean, this is what we end up enjoying, you know. Yeah. And for me as the you know, instrumentalist in the band, the melody is always first. And then the lyric comes. And for some people, the lyric comes, and then the melody is secondary or something. So I'm always excited by the melody first, and that's what's been really, what really drew me into performing with Colin and the rest of these people, was that the melody was really strong. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, these lyrics are important, and they're different, and they carry merit, and they're dense. And that was exciting to me, you know. It was exciting to me that it wasn't like this really... generic brand of songwriting. So if someone thinks that it's, you know, too dense or too generic and it doesn't fit the form of the Beatles, or if it doesn't fit the form of Chuck Berry, or I don't know, you know, then I don't know what to say. Then they're not, I guess they're not a fan of the band, you know.
You have been touring pretty heavily since Picaresque was released. What is the status of future songs and releases?
We're going to start working on a record in April, which is, 7 months from now, or 5 months from now, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what month it is right now. And record the record in May, hopefully, and then,
late summer release?
I guess it would be fall. I don't, all that record company stuff, they, 3, 4, or 5 months lead time, so they can do all their dirty work. So, be in the fall, and, you know, we'll just keep going. We're really ambitious right now and feeling positive about what we're doing, and so we have no intent of halting at the moment.
You said that there's going to be, like, a departure from the character-driven lyrics. Do you think that, what's next for the Decemberists lyrically or in structure?
Well, that's what I speculate, just from what we talked about with Colin and stuff. I don't know if there'll be a complete departure, but... It might be we talk about, you know, making this kind of a record or that kind of a record, or we're really interested in harder music at times, you know, or really interested in folkier music at times. So hopefully it'll be some kind of combination of that, but you never know until it's finished. You know, you can say I'm gonna, you know,
yeah,
write this kind of a story or write that kind of a story, and you never know till it's finished. So we'll see. Again, like I said, nothing's that contrived. So we've talked about making like a really another Tane, you know, like a longer version of the Tane, that was with many sequential songs and songs that have a threat to them, sort of beginning to end album. But you know, who knows what'll happen. It might not work. You never know till you throw it up on the boards and check it out.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, the Decemberists, can be found on their website, Decemberists.com. Music samples in the show are from their 2005 record, Picaresque. For more information on this release, visit KillRockStars.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in its production, send your thoughts to IndieInterviews@gmail.com. Thanks again. See you next week.